Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. We have finally made it to NFL Draft Day here on the program, and to help us talk about that and more in the NFL, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Charles, good morning. Happy Draft Day to you.
Good morning. I'm so happy we are finally here and get this thing rolling, get it offloaded.
Me too. The mock draft season officially coming to a close today, which is always good news here on the program. I just want to start with a general question for you, because the idea around this draft from general managers that are talking to people out there seems to be that this could be a wild and unpredictable draft starting in the first round tonight. What are your thoughts on that and just how unpredictable this thing could be, really starting with Houston and what they're going to do at number two overall?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I mean, it's, you know, some guys are saying it publicly. Ballard, you know, Chris Ballard with the Colts, Terry Fontenot with the Falcons, you know, basically just came out and said, you know, how crazy this process feels right now. And when you talk to guys behind the scenes, what usually happens leading up to a draft, particularly in the top 10, 15, you have a lot of execs that are up there that try to figure out, you know, let's see if we can, you know, understand who values what and how these picks could fall in front of us. It gets a little harder to do once you usually, you know, get well outside the top 10 or 12. And this year it's been hard no matter where you are. I mean, I had a chance to talk to a team in the top 10 and we were sort of sitting there and going back and forth on the picks, and like this GM just straight up said to me, like, it's number one is it, like, that's the only the pick that we're sure about is number one, and then after that there's 50 million things that could end up happening. And I think part of it is that when we went into this draft and we went to the combine, we were like, oh, there's four good quarterbacks and they performed well enough at the combine that we thought, all right, there's a chance that these quarterbacks stack up at the top of the first round, and that's going to help out considerably, because then, you know, you figure out who moves up to three. Obviously, one needs a quarterback, two needs a quarterback, three, someone will trade in, and then four needs a quarterback, and that will help us determine where the rest of this order goes. Unfortunately, it's been such an uneven process with the quarterbacks in terms of who likes who. They're different styles, the resumes are different, the sizes are different, the S2 scores, that all became a big deal the last couple of weeks. And so slotting those quarterbacks just became a little more difficult for everyone else. And as you said, Houston at number two, the natural thought process of them absolutely taking a quarterback there got a little crazier when it was clear they really liked Bryce Young, and if they weren't going to get a shot at Bryce Young at number two, would they then take a premium defensive player and try to figure out how they could manage a quarterback either later in the draft or maybe through a trade process? And that's why at this last moment, you're getting a lot of this talk about Houston trying to move up from 12 to accomplish that. Still take a premium defender at two and then maybe try to get cute if a quarterback either starts falling or if they have to, you know, potentially even go into Arizona at three to get that done. The Cardinals are having a really hard time trading out of three right now.
Well, you mentioned the S2 scores, Charles, and you know, the C.J. Stroud stuff, you know, came out, I think, Friday, day after we talked last week. I think that ties into all this, right, with Houston. First of all, do you buy that Houston's out on him? And second of all, I mean, well, personally, I believe that C.J. Stroud has a better, much better S2 second taking score that 15 teams in this league have possession of and 17 don't. But how much do you care about that? Do teams care about that? Are you finding there's a wide range of caring about that as part of the formula?
Right. So, okay, I can say this about Stroud and the S2. I don't know about the retest, you know, he's not the only one that, you know, did a retest. There's more than one guy that did a retest. The teams I talked to would tell me that his, you know, initial test, the one that created all this, you know, ruckus, was bad. They would not say whether or not it was, you know, this 18th percentile that was quoted and all these different things, but they were just like, look, it was bad and it was a concern. And you asked me, like, do I put any stock in that? I think teams, the way it was sort of described to me is, look, it's not so much, it's a piece of information, but it's not so much when someone scores extremely high, you know, like, oh, they're an automatic, you know, they're going to make it in the NFL. That's not how it works. It's when someone scores low, you then go, why did that happen? Like, why did they score low? And should we be concerned about that? And then you get into this, like, what were the conditions of the test? Where were they? You know, had they even really prepared for it? And if some of those answers are no, or there's extenuating circumstances, some teams ask to, you know, let's see if we can get a retest done and then look at, you know, the second score. That often would happen with the Wunderlich too. There were players that took Wunderlich, bombed it, and then it's like, let's give it to him again. Let's see if this changes. So, you know, does it change the process? I think for some teams, because some teams really do care about that F2 score. They're big believers in it, particularly teams that have front offices or owners that buy into the baseball model or even have ties to baseball teams or executives. It matters. So, you know, do I think that made Houston be out on C.J. Stroud? No. Do I think it raised the flag? Yes. But I'm trying to think of how I can say this.
Just say it, Charles. Tell us what's going to happen.
I think Houston, like a lot of teams, ultimately, when something like that happens, they go back to the body of work. And they're like, okay, wait a minute. Justin Fields scored really high on the S2. He ran the offense exceedingly well at Ohio State. C.J. Stroud might have run it better. Okay, it's different, not one-for-one styles, but he might have run it better, and he definitely threw it better at times in terms of, like, accuracy and all this different stuff. And so they're like, there's clearly a disparity here. I think teams looked at the body of work on C.J. Stroud, and I don't necessarily know that he trickles through the draft now because of an S2 score. I think teams, it raised the red flag. Everybody went back to the tape. Some teams wanted to retest, and then I think now when the dust settles, let's say Houston is poking around to try and get back up from the 12 spot. I believe the quarterback they're trying to get back up from the 12 spot for is C.J. Stroud. I'll put it that way.
Wow. Okay. There's another curveball.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, see,
interesting strategy, Cotton.
Yeah, it is. Well, it is. But see, here's the thing. I get what they're doing. Okay, like I get the thought process of why Houston, like it's, there's a few things that happened here, and you can always tell, like, if you're in the media and you've done this long enough, you can tell when information gets put out what's being masked, okay? And I'll give you an example here, and I know I really shouldn't talk about the inside baseball stuff with us, but
it's, yeah, you should.
Helpful for fans. When Adam Schefter tweets out, Hughes is looking to move down and all this stuff, and then all of a sudden at the very end of the tweet, and I'm paraphrasing here, but this is pretty much how he tweeted it out, oh, and they might be looking to move up. And I was like, okay, I've crafted a tweet like that before. This is really a tweet saying that Houston's trying to move up. But you don't want to, you know, sometimes you can't just come out and straight up say, like, hey, they're clearly trying to move up, and this is what's going on. So what you do is you're like, oh, they're interested in moving down, but maybe also up. And, the you know, you're doing that because you don't want to get fragged with a source who's basically like you know, look, we're fishing to move up, or other sources that are like, hey, Houston's making calls. They clearly want to come up in the draft. So you throw out this idea that, hey, they're potentially trying to move, and then you just kind of tack on this idea of move up, which is really the tweet. They're trying to move up, okay? And, you know, when I say the reason why Houston's doing something like this, because they're sitting there saying, like, if we don't draft Will Anderson, let's say it's Will Anderson at 2, we think there's a chance that if Arizona gets stuck at 3, that's who they'll take. Will won't fall. Like, that's the thought process you're going through. Now, if we don't draft C.J. Anderson at 2 and Arizona gets stuck at 3, they're not taking C.J. Anderson. And then if he gets to 4, and this is where this all comes in, if he gets to 4 to Indianapolis, what if Indianapolis actually likes Will Levis or Anthony Richardson more? All of a sudden, now CJ gets to 5, and we don't think Seattle's taking him. So then he gets to 6. We don't think Detroit's taking him. So do we now call Detroit? And now we try to move up to 6, which the freight is a lot less than it would be to move up to 3. And it's a lot easier for, say, Detroit to go, yeah, you know what? We'd like enough players that we'll fall back to 6. We'll stack a bunch of draft picks. and we're more willing to move back. Even you know, Arizona fire sailing the third pick, I think it's cheaper to move up to six than it is three. So that's what you're trying to do, is you're going like, do we got to make the big jump and get our guy at three? Or if we take the defensive player thinking there's a chance the quarterback falls, now we only have to get up to five or six, maybe even seven or eight. Like, you know, maybe the Raiders don't really like Stroud either. Maybe they like Peter, you know, or maybe they like Skronsky, right? But they say he's a guard. Well, they don't want to take him at seven, but they'll take him at 12. That makes a lot more sense, especially when they can pick up picks.
Charles,
I'm sorry about the diatribe, but this is the craziness that's going on right now.
No, that was really good. Charles, as you look at the draft, as Charles Robinson views this draft, how intrigued are you by the Titans at number 11 and what they could do, specifically at what they may do with the quarterback position and how involved they could be?
Yeah. Well, that's the wild card in this. I actually think the other team that if Houston really is trying to move up to get a quarterback, and again, if they're quote-unquote trying to be cute about it, the team that I would worry about, I think it's the Titans. Because the Titans, there have been things done by the Titans that are actually hard data points. You don't talk to other teams about potentially offloading Ryan Tannehill if certain conditions, you know, transpire. You don't talk about unloading Ryan Tannehill unless you're seriously thinking about making a move for a quarterback, okay? So that happened. We talked about that on this show. That happened. We're talking about weeks ago, right? And my guess is it was even – you probably go back to the NFL meetings in Arizona when I think that really started to get a little bit of traction. Then you have – you know, people who are close to people in the organization, in the media, who start to talk about, hey, wait a minute, sounds like the Titans are thinking about moving up, like potentially going and getting a quarterback. That's another piece of information that then gets out there that lets people know, other NFL teams know, hey, the Titans might be interested in moving up. So, A, if you need a veteran quarterback, that's a team to call. And then, B, if you want to move back in the draft, that's a team to call. So I think Houston sits there and goes, they're interested. Now we have to be worried about, we call Arizona and we say, we know you guys want a tackle. Three is rich for any tackle in this draft. 11 is not. 12 is not, right? So if you're going to take Paris Johnson, maybe you get him at 11. Maybe you get him at 12. Well, Arizona's going to sit there and look at it and go, we're more likely to get Paris at 11 than we are 12. That creates a problem potentially, I think, for Houston. I do think Tennessee absolutely is interested in a quarterback, but I also think there's the risk-reward element of it and how much you'd have to, you know, spend to get in position to take a quarterback. So that I really think one of those teams that Houston's worried about is Tennessee, because they know if we have to go to three or – a few of these other teams that are interested in moving back, most of them are kind of in the market for tackles, and those tackles, that run could start at nine. And so that makes people a little nervous about how much further than nine do you want to move back and still get one of the tackles you like.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. More with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Joe Rex Road, the floor is yours.
Yeah, so I'm glad, Charles, that you brought up, like the, you know, inside baseball misinformation thing, because I was going to forget this, but a listener called us this week asking about, you know, our encounters with misinformation and ever reported something that was, you know, totally BS because a source, you know, gave you bad information and had the protection of being anonymous. So from your perspective, a couple questions of that. One, that question for you, like, have you ever been really burned? But also two, and I know you're very careful about, you know, making sure everything's tied together tightly on things like that. But number two, of all the stuff that's flying around right now, like if you just had to give a general, you know, 65% of it's real, 35 BS or whatever, how would you answer that?
First off, about the burn, yeah, that has happened. And I mean, like, I actually remember the first time it happened. I had a GM who I really trusted straight up told me, I can't remember who the other corner was, but he told me Revis isn't going to be the first corner off. He was like, you know, he flip flopped another corner in front of Revis and Darrell Revis, and you know, you spun this whole thing about, you know, oh, there's, you know, this guy is hot, and you know, here's, and then Revis, there's these issues, and did all this different stuff, and then it was wrong. I reported, you know, at some point. Now it wasn't like I was just like, hey, you know, this corner's getting, you know, here are these conditions that have set up this corner to be the guy selected in front of Revis, you know, and I basically just repeated a lot of this information, and Revis, of course, was drafted before this guy. The other guy went quite a bit further down the pipeline, and I caught a quote from the same GM later about Revis in the draft process, where it was the exact opposite of what he had told me, and I was pissed. I mean, I was really pissed, and I brought it to his attention, and I said, you know, this is garbage. You straight up used me, and, you know, he hemmed and hawed about, you know, oh, no, this is at the time, and I'm like, you know, you told me it's like 3 days before the draft. We mean at the time. I'm like, it was ridiculous. And, yeah, and so it was the first time where I was like, wow, you know, guys will clear. And it was clear he had interest in getting Revis, and unfortunately it just didn't work out for him. But, yeah, I mean, it was, you'll have moments where someone clearly drops nuggets of information to you. And early on, if you're not kind of used to how they use language and sort of decoding what might be BS, you can fall into that trap pretty easily. I'll give you an example of this one. I had a team when the Stroud S2 stuff initially happened. I called a bunch of different teams trying to see if I could get the scores and everything. And one guy said to me, I heard a rumor. I heard a rumor that X happened. And I was like, okay, well, first off, that's not how people talk. I'm like, if you know something, that's not a piece of information, how you really relay it. Now, he was very careful about, you know, what he said. He kept driving home the point that it was something he had heard, which I'm like, he's giving himself wiggle room right now, but he's probably testing to see if I'll repeat it or if I'll start calling around with this piece of information. I didn't. And then literally, I'm talking like 48 hours later, same exact person. We're running through the quarterbacks, and he starts to sort of say some good stuff about C.J. Stroud. And I'm like, it's kind of the opposite of the rumor that you just said to me like 2 days earlier. So this is sort of the games that some guys will play. They, you know, if they respect you enough, they might not blatantly lie to you, but they'll finesse pieces of information to see if they can, you know, create either an environment where you share it on Twitter or repeat it, or you'll start making calls that will then lead other teams to go, wait a minute, oh, we hadn't heard that, you know, and then they start asking additional questions, or it's just, they muddy up the process. So in terms of the percentages, I think you, in terms of like what's reported, it's hard to believe anything that's reported 100% because you might not know someone's sources. You might not know what their vetting process is in terms of what you personally hear. You know, after a while, you know who kind of doesn't jerk you around, and you know who the people that do. And I tend to be really just direct with questions. So, you know, usually I'll just have guys go, hey, you know, I can't tell you that. Or, you know, they'll share information in a way that is very real. Like I had a team, I said, hey, you're getting attached to these two players a lot. No, you can't tell me whether or not these are guys high on your board or whatever. I said, but I'm a little surprised because of these two different things about these two different players. And the GM said to me, look at our track record. Do I personally have, as an organization, a track record of drafting this kind of player X who did this or is said to have done that, or Y, this player Y, who look at the value versus the board? And I said, no, you don't. And he goes, well, I would tend to believe track record really is something you should lean on heavily here, which was him trying to say, no, I'm not taking those guys, but I'm not going to tell you that because I don't want you out there reporting that straight up. So again, this is, it's all very, this is why I just want this over. Okay? Like, you get it? Like, I don't know how many times I've been sitting. I honestly got it true. I don't know. There had to be at least 5 or 6 times over the last 2 weeks where I'm up in my office at like 10, 30, 11 o'clock at night. And, you know, like dawn's coming up and she's going to bed and she opens the door and she sees me on the phone and she hears me say some piece of draft jargon and just rolls her eyes to close the door. She's like, yep, not even gonna, you know, and then the next morning she's like, so what's so-and-so doing with his draft?
So who's got a real nose for the ball, Charles?
Yeah, I'm like, okay, look, all right.
That is awesome. Charles, last thing here for you. The Aaron Rodgers deal finally official between the Packers and the Jets. What did you make of the compensation for the Packers, particularly the conditional second that becomes a first if he plays in 65% of the plays?
Yeah, that was a low threshold. I will say that. It was a lower threshold than I thought would be the qualifier for the first. You know, I thought it would definitely be attached to, you know, something related to wins and losses, or some kind of like playoff trigger. But I think, you know, look, clearly knowing what the conditions were prior to that, the Jets moved off of, you know, they softened their stance on a couple of different things. Number one, that qualifier. They know he's going to play 65% of the snaps. It's going to become a first. You know, when you talk to the Jets, you know, post this trade, their idea, and they've said this publicly, is if he's playing 65% of the snaps, we feel pretty good about, you know, what our record will probably be at that point. 65% of Aaron Rodgers last year would have had an immense impact on their team in the wins and loss column. So I think that, and then I think the flip-flopping of 13 and 15 was another little piece that the Jets kicked in. I will say about that, though, knowing that the sort of grades that are on these draft boards, the difference between 13 and 15 in this particular draft, it's negligible. Like, it's everybody's grades, it's skinny at the top in terms of like elite players. It's only a couple of guys. And then there's a big swath, at least from most teams I've talked to, there's a big swath of players that are graded pretty similarly, you know, might be 20 or 30 guys. So going from 13 to 15 wasn't a big deal. It showed, though, I think the Jets, A, wanted to make sure they got this done before the draft, because even though they could have leveraged it and said, we'll wait forever, we'll wait until, you know, training camp, just to make sure we win this trade in totality, I think to them it was more value to have him in hand, be able to draft knowing you had him in hand, and then knowing that he's going to be there for the off-season program, which is what Rodgers indicated. Like, I'm going to work. Let's go. And so for the Jets, that's immense, because they're like, great, he gets to work, you know, in the room with all these guys chemistry-wise. We're going to have him for OTAs. We're going to have him for full squads. He's in the passing program. And we're, you know, it's just, you know, their thought is, this is going to go well. We're going to be optimistic about it. Let's not worry about how a watch works, when really what we need to do is just tell the time. That's it. That's as simple as it was.
Charles Robinson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row, joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. Charles, thanks for being with us. Have fun with the draft finally getting underway tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Absolutely. Charles Robinson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll take your thoughts on the NFL draft, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, including a very interesting piece of news that Charles brought up there that if it happens this way tonight, I think is very fascinating. We'll get into that coming up next. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Bite a Bit in the heart of East Nashville. You can get half off a $30 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Bite a Bit features all the best Thai food, sushi, and cocktails that you will love. You can check them out at biteabitthaisushi.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3. The game streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for joining us in the last segment. I got a family four-pack of tickets to give away to the Franklin Rodeo coming up on May 18th. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a family four-pack to the Franklin Rodeo coming up on May 18th, 615-737-1025. So Charles, always interesting on the program, and it was nice to get a good behind-the-scenes look of how things work this time of year from him. I thought that was really fun and entertaining. The Houston part of this is very fascinating, especially kind of the route that he laid out there. And again, we'll see what Houston ends up deciding to do at number two. But what do you make of the thought process of, okay, well, maybe if you're Houston, you have an elite defensive player on the board that you think is elite and Will Anderson at number two, you take him and then you try to maybe move number 12 back up and maybe go land CJ Stroud at quarterback. What do you make of that approach? If that's the way that Houston decides to go.
Yeah, that's something else. It's really interesting. And like he was kind of laying out there, is there a run on tackles? Does one pick mean that much to help you? Obviously, you know, you don't know what the rest of the deal is, but like if it's Titans and Texans vying to move up, you know, the Titans offering 11, Texans offering 12, what does that mean? How, I mean, if that's the case, you're the Arizona Cardinals. You love that.
Sure.
Yep, keep going. Give me another one. How about a third and 25? Keep it going. Keep it going. Yeah, really interesting to think Houston would. But it's just like, so you're going to take a defender with a second, and then you're going to cost yourself a bunch of draft capital, move back up to get a quarterback, and you're gambling that, you know, you can get him, whereas you could just go ahead and take him.
That's the thing. Like, if you if you really like C.J. Stroud, why would you risk it like that if you're the Texans? Like, I get the idea of trying to land two really good players, right? So maybe your thought process is, well, if you pull this off, you get an edge rusher that helps you for 10 years, and you get a quarterback that could help you for 10 to 15 years, and this could end up being a franchise-altering draft. So I get it.
Yeah.
But the quarterback is really the most important thing. Like, if you're going to draft a quarterback, whether it's at 2, whether it's at 12, or you're moving up to, like, number 7 overall or 6, like, you got to get it right. So, like, if you feel good enough about moving back up to go get him, I don't know why you just wouldn't do it at number two. That's a heck of a risk to take.
It really is. And, you know, we talked about Diana Russini earlier, of course, and she's at Titans headquarters, and what she reported on the Titans, you know, being interested potentially in a quarterback. But another thing worth mentioning here is Aaron Wilson, who worked for the Houston Chronicle for a long time. Now he's with NBC TV in Houston. But he, and I'm trying to find this tweet, also today had a tweet that, wait, has that been deleted? Okay, maybe. If it's been deleted, then never mind, I guess. But he had a tweet that said the Titans and naming Stroud were looking to go up to 3. And Stroud as the target. So, again, could be information.
I see it. Yeah, it says
could be misinformation.
The Tennessee Titans have explored trade-up scenarios for the Arizona Cardinals' number 3 overall pick with the target Ohio State quarterback C.J. Stroud, per league sources. That's what Aaron Wilson had to say.
There it is.
So there's that part of it, too.
Yep.
The other intriguing part that Charles threw out there was that Arizona was having a tough time moving off number 3. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. Like, I wonder why that is. Is that people just waiting to see what Houston does at number 2? Is that an asking price from Arizona that is just incredibly high at the moment and teams don't want to do it? Maybe it's a combination of the two. But, you know, the having a difficult time moving out of number 3 that Charles put out there, wonder why that's the case for Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's got to be the uncertainty, right? It's got to be – there are people that are like, wait a minute, what if they – I'm not trading you for 3 now and then watch Houston take my guy.
Right.
Not going to give you anything right now. I want to see what these guys do. You know, if they take Tyree Wilson or Will Anderson, something, let's go. I'm in on Stroud, or, you know, I think it would be Stroud. But maybe not. Maybe Stroud drops to 24. Who the heck knows? Tell me anything right now, I'll believe it.
UDFA.
There you go.
It's interesting. I know this. As soon as that first pick's out of the way tonight, you know, with the possibility of the Reddit guy being right, notwithstanding of Will Levis going number one overall. As soon as Bryce Young is out of the way tonight,
Reddit
and he
Randy
goes number one to the Panthers, when that clock ticks on the Houston Texans, that's when this thing's really getting going tonight. It's going to be really interesting. Those next two picks specifically with Houston, and then can Arizona find a way to trade back after whatever Houston does? That's going to be really interesting to see tonight.
Yeah, that's high drama, high drama. Tyler on Twitter says, Joe, one thing I've not seen addressed, I'd like your take on it. Do the Titans, Carthon, Vrabel, et cetera, ran VMC?
Yep.
Or ran MVC?
Ran MVC is what you
ran
decided.
Ran MVC, thank you. Feel they're truly a QB away from competing for Super Bowl? No. No, they don't. I mean, this is not a ready-made Super Bowl team. Plug in a quarterback, you're going to Super Bowl. First of all, if you're drafting a quarterback, then you're drafting a rookie, so you have to be realistic about that. But this could be the opportunity to get the quarterback that then they continue to build around to get, ideally, into that situation before long.
Well, I would say, yeah, if they draft a quarterback, it does mean they think they're a quarterback away from competing for a Super Bowl. It just doesn't mean next year. Like, it means eventually, yeah, that guy needs to be the guy that leads us to the Super Bowl, right?
Like, I looked at the question, it's the last piece, you know, but yeah.
I'm just being smart.
Yes.
That's what I do.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No. Stop that.
We discovered
Stop talking about the Titans.
Apparently, I say all of a sudden instead of all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So there we go.
All of a sudden.
All of a sudden.
And you say all of the all sudden.
I guess so.
All of a sudden. Hey, listen. As long as you don't say.
Could care less.
Oh, that one's good.
As long as you don't say, I could care less. Really? Then you care a lot. Great. You couldn't care less.
I knew that was going to be yours.
That's an old rant, but a goodie.
Diane Russini coming out with this now on Twitter says, new Titans general manager Rand Carthon has been leading the staff behind the scenes for tonight's pick at 11. Speaking to people around the facility, Carthon and Mike Vrabel have been in lockstep throughout this process. Quote, it's a collaborative effort, end quote. The Titans board was set yesterday. This is from Diane Russini. That collaboration word continued to get thrown around out there.
Well, I mean, Rand basically told us the board was set like Friday.
Yeah,
he went and tried to get his head cleared for the weekend,
yeah.
You know?
They have their arms locked, and they are walking left, right throughout
the
building.
We have our board. Let's pick together, Mike. Yay! Wonder Twins, activate! How quick?
Vreeron, go!
Rand, MVC. VMC.
Wonder Twins.
God dang it. LD from McMinnville says, how quickly does Russini fly to Nashville and the Titans select a non-QB? No, it'll be like, folks, I'm hearing that Peter Skoronski likes to put cheese, queso in his coffee. Let's make
that
this pick interesting.
Oh, boy. I got a text that says the Vrabathon era starts tonight. Lots of nicknames being thrown around for this combination that we got going on.
At some point,
we got to settle on one, man.
I'm going Rand.
MVC.
MVC.
You're having a tough time putting those together.
Big MVC fan.
Because you could go, yeah, Ran MVC. That's the right way. Ran MVC, yes. But Vrabathon's cool.
Ray Ran
is cool, too. Bottom line, collaboration.
That's correct. We'll have more on the NFL draft and the Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5-106.3 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. So it is officially that time. It is time to make our predictions. Joe Rex Road, the draft is tonight. The Titans at the moment hold the number 11 overall pick. When everything is said and done tonight and the first round is over, who will be the newest member of the Tennessee Titans? Who would like to go first?
Joe, you're first.
Yeah, no. I'd rather you say who the Titans are going to pick.
Thank you.
Well, although I told you guys earlier this morning, even though I'm running on 2 hours of sleep.
I thought you were about to say 2 hours of sleep.
I did grab a specific sweatshirt, if you can all see.
Oh, okay.
That is a certain color of blue. Mm-hmm. And I will stick with my thought from whenever I gave Jim Wyatt my media member pick. I think the Tennessee Titans are staying at 11, and they will go with Kentucky quarterback Will Levis.
You think your guy's dropping to 11?
Yeah, I do.
Wow.
I don't think CJ Stroud's dropping. I think Anthony Richardson probably goes to the Colts at 4, and then Seattle, I don't think goes with them. Lions don't go. I don't think the Raiders will draft one this year. 8, Falcons, no. 9, and then 10, 11.
Okay. All right. You laid it out. Hey.
So one for Will Levis.
Yeah, I mean, Dane Brugger's last mock has quarterbacks fallen too. So, Robbie, go ahead.
I will say Paris Johnson Jr. is the pick at number 11.
Wah, wah.
That's how I think it's going to
shake
out.
Boring.
I'm hoping against hope that that is not the way it plays out. That is, I do not want an offensive lineman tonight for the Tennessee Titans. So
I do not want one.
I do not want one of those. Sam, I am. But I will go Paris Johnson Jr. Joe Rexroad, who is the pick for the Titans?
Well, I'll stick. You know, Jimmy White, like Michelle says, he likes to do the media polling beforehand. So I'll stick with what I will say. Stroud is on my brain now.
Yep.
I still have a hard time.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Believing you're going to mortgage so much to go get him when you didn't even have him at your visit, because I feel like even as much information as Vrabel has about Ohio State, his future employer, and as the fact that they sat down with him in Columbus, the fact he didn't come here just puzzles me if they pick him. It's on the brain. Though, that maybe it's Stroud. But you know what? I'll stick with what I had. I'm sticking with they do have to move up, but they only have to move up to 6. They trade with the Lions, and they take Will Levis.
So 2 for Will Levis.
2 for Levis and 1 for Johnson.
Yeah. Congratulations to C.J. Stroud and to Anthony Richardson, the newest member of the Tennessee Titans. Yeah.
Or Peter Skoronski.
Or Peter Skoronski.
Bijan Robinson. That's the one. That's what we need tomorrow.
Broderick Jones. Yeah, if it's Bijan Robinson, it's going to be quite the show tomorrow.
I mean, Daniel Jeremiah's got him taking Zay Flowers at 11, so hey, man.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's a tweet, there's a Twitter account that's told that apparently it's a legit account.
Yeah.
What is it? ML
Football.
Said get used to Nashville.
Says, according to his source, it says, get used to Nashville, Zay. If they go Zay Flowers at number 11. I mean, look, I like Zay Flowers. You know, we've talked with TD about Zay Flowers. Wouldn't 11 be kind of a serious reach for Zay Flowers at that point, you think?
I mean, I
maybe
think
they just
so.
Love him. I don't know.
I think he could be good, but that's a stunner. You know, Andrew Schulman, it's a good one. Carbell is also good.
That's pretty good.
We need more Carbell. The only prescription is more Carbell. Thank you, Andrew.
That may be,
for people who don't get that, you need to watch that skit. I won't ask you, Michelle.
Andrew on the text line says, a starting left tackle is boring. That sounds like a bunch of kids on Reddit more than sports journalists on the text line. That's from Andrew.
Wow,
I mean,
Andrew.
Yes, comparatively speaking, a starting left tackle is boring compared to a quarterback, yes.
Sorry, Andrew. Should I be stuffy? Oh, well, that would be quite an interesting pick, Andrew. No, it's boring. We want quarterbacks, Andrew.
They draft Paris Johnson Jr. tonight. We'll spend the first hour tomorrow going through just film-by-film breakdown of his pass sets.
Yeah, exactly. Will from Nashville says, Quentin Johnson, is he going like the fourth round now? Like, he was like the consensus top receiver in the draft before the process, and I don't think he's going anywhere near the first round.
He's not going. Well,
no,
he might sneak into the back part of the first round, maybe.
Yeah.
But he's not, I mean, he was at one point considered to be the number one receiver on the board, and he's not going to be close to that, I don't think.
Yeah.
All it takes is one team.
That is true. James says, many people are saying speculation is an unnamed source is about to confirm that some offers have possibly been fielded by the Titans for Jeff Simmons and a bucket of hot chicken. Yes, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, Charles never gave us a number. Actually, did he? He never gave us a number.
No, he did not.
I'd love to know. I still think it's more than 50% that there's something real to it. Because, again, most the people doing this, they don't want to get screwed over.
No.
You know? Just like Charles didn't want to get screwed over by the guy saying, oh, yeah, I don't like Revis.
Yeah, Revis guy. He's not going first.
It was a nice early lesson. That would have been what? What draft would that have been? Oh, eight? Something like that?
Maybe before that.
Even before that, maybe. But that was, you know, there's an early in the career of covering the NFL lesson for someone.
07.
Okay, so. But I still think there's some truth to a lot of the smoke. Right? That's the thing. It's just like a lot of things. It's like, it's not black or white. This is a lie. This is the truth. There's some, in some cases, it's a little bit of, well, a little bit of massaging here or there, but there's something to it. And yeah. I'm having a hard time just completely ignoring the Stroud stuff.
By the way, the 07 draft, the number one overall pick notwithstanding, which was Jamarcus Russell, pretty good draft. Calvin Johnson, Joe Thomas, Darrell Revis, Adrian Peterson, Patrick Willis, Marshawn Lynch.
Wow.
A lot of good players taken in the 07 draft.
Yeah. Gosh, that's the same draft where Charles told me Jamarcus Russell is going to be the greatest quarterback of all time.
Brady Quinn.
Wish I would have brought that up earlier.
God, the quarterbacks in that draft, Jamarcus Russell and Brady Quinn.
Where did Quinn, like in the 20s, right?
He went, yeah, he was 22.
And some people thought he was going top five.
Yeah. Tennessee great, Robert Meacham, first round pick in that draft.
Oh, yeah. Heck of a college player.
He was. Got a vote on the text line that says Jackson Smith and Jigba will be the pick for the Titans tonight. What's your reaction if they take him at 11? We've talked about him a lot. He's, by most accounts, the number one receiver in the draft. We just talked about Zay Flowers. What if it's Jackson Smith and Jigba at number 11?
See, the thing is, we're all like, oh, Zay Flowers. Do I know for sure that Jackson Smith and Jigba is a better receiver than Zay Flowers will be a better pro?
No.
Or that it's any different of a reach? No. I mean, I think it would be a reach. I think any of the receivers in this draft at 11 would be a reach. That's my opinion. One of them will turn out to be a Hall of Famer, and they'll be an incredible value. But I'd be calling that a reach.
I'm very interested to see what happens. To me, Joe, this is the draft that I've probably been the most excited about in my life. I'm looking forward to this one tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm really fascinated. Number one team I'm looking at tonight beyond the Titans, Houston. What in the world are they doing at number two? And what sort of domino effect does their decision at two have on the rest of the draft? Does Arizona trade out at number three? I'm looking forward to it. We finally find the answers tonight at 7 o'clock.
I mean, if Nick Caserio gets like Will Anderson and then is able to go back up and get Stroud.
It's pretty good.
Evil genius, Nick Caserio. Who knew?
Playing chess, not checkers.
Yes, yeah,
pretty
right?
good. Pretty
yeah,
good.
No doubt.
We'll have you covered all day long here on 102.5, 106.3, the game for the NFL draft. Chase and Michelle is coming up next. They'll have you covered as well. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, the game.